Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services, and it's, gosh, this month is even flying by, June 10th, 2003. We're having public hearing only today on House Bill 2288, and I believe that, where is Jacqueline Zimmer Jones? She was there signing up. I did get it all in one sentence, Jacqueline. And also to testify today is Kathy Cooper from the Department of Human Services, who's testifying instead of James Pace. So Jacqueline knows that when I say Jacqueline, it was like when my mother said Jacqueline. That meant that it was very official. And serious. It's pronto.
Senator Winters, members of the committee, for the record, Jacqueline Zimmer Jones with the Oregon Association of Area Agencies on Aging and Disabilities. And what I would like to do today, because I think you've all received a handout from me on this particular issue, and I'll submit mine to the staff, is one, just to thank you very much for holding this hearing today. This means a tremendous amount to the Area Agencies on Aging and Disabilities. And what I thought I would do is, actually, this is John Mullen on my right. He is our director in Clackamas County. And so I've asked him to, since you always hear from me, I've asked him to come and present on our behalf today. So I will turn it over to him if that's all right with you. And he'll go through the chronology or what I think most of you are familiar, so we'll try not to be redundant. But we'll
welcome, John.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Mullen, Director of Clackamas County Social Services. Our agency is a Type B2 transfer area agency on aging, as well as a community action agency. And that gives us an opportunity to work on issues for elderly, people with disabilities, low-income individuals, and families. And as Jacqueline mentioned, I'm here today to express strong support for House Bill 2288 on behalf of Clackamas County and on behalf of the Oregon Association of Area Agencies on Aging and Disability. The short way of describing this bill is to talk about equity, and I've been around since the beginning of the discussion here in the state of Oregon about the creation of local area agencies on aging doing these particular programs. So simply stated, when the Area Agencies on Aging took over the program staff and responsibility for long-term care and eligibility programs, these transfers went back to 1982, and along with the Medicaid waivers that the state of Oregon was able to achieve, that produced our national model that we often talk about when we talk about independence, dignity, and choice for seniors and people with disabilities. The Area Agencies on Aging role in that was quite significant. We helped to develop a coordinated system meeting those principles that I mentioned while saving Oregon taxpayers millions of dollars over the course of those years by developing community-based resources and alternatives to nursing facility care, which is the committee is well aware is much more expensive for nursing facility care when community-based care will meet the need. The state, however, didn't keep its agreement about the funding for AAAs at the same rate it funds its own offices. And in the chronology that Jacqueline has gotten to, it goes through step by step how that all happened over the years. It's quite complicated, and there's nobody to blame for it, except it is something that happened and it created that gap. In fact, in the early days, when we were involved with that, the transfer of programs, the employees were actually tracked in the state's personnel system. And that changed when the state wanted to go ahead and say they had less employees. It made some sense to change the system and change the allocation. But the agreement at that time was we would never fall behind what a comparable state office would receive. So along the way, a number of policy packages were developed in the last number of legislative sessions. And the 1999 legislative session, we got some relief as far as the equity problem was concerned. In Clackamas County, we were in the worst shape overall because we had transferred programs earlier. And we were in jeopardy of having to turn programs back over to the state. So the legislature did address the issue of funding to some degree, but the problem is that the methodology was not fixed. And so We had to go back, and we keep having to come back until the methodology is finally fixed. So fortunately, there's an opportunity now for this session of the legislature to address methodology, and that opportunity is in House Bill 2288. The change in the allocation formula is very important for the AAAs and for really all of us. And first and foremost, services to clients will be improved because AAAs will have the funding to hire staff on a par with state offices. That will lower caseloads and improve responsiveness. Secondly, it will be possible for other area agencies on aging to transfer staff and programs. And this is the preferred service delivery model as outlined in ORS 410. And third, it would avoid the disruption and cost of transferring programs and staff back to the state. And that is, again, a distinct possibility in the years to come if there's no resolution to the funding gap. I've been involved with the Oregon model since the early days, dating back to the 1981 session. It is my sincere hope that the legacy of a system that maximizes state and local resources for the elderly and people with disabilities will continue. Our mission to plan, serve, and coordinate, along with our commitment to excellence, is the hallmark of our Oregon AAA system. We need your leadership to ensure that what we have worked so hard for to build will continue to endure. And thank you for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have about this particular issue.
And if I could, Senator, excuse me, but I know that Senator Morissette wanted to speak, and I know that he has to go.
I noticed Senator Morissette, and I see Representative Billy Galt on the back. No, he doesn't, but I know that Senator Morissette did want to provide some testimony. So if there's no further questions, Senator Morissette, would you?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senator Bill Morissette, representing both Lynn and Lane County Senate District 6. The testimony that's written is, I think, something that you already know. I just want to add one thing. In 1990, I was the mayor of Springfield, and I sat on the Lane Council of Governments when this decision was made. And my question at the time was, what happens when the state doesn't come up with the money that they're supposed to? And I suggested at the time that the county give these services back to the state, and I still recommend that to the counties. I think that if the state is not going to fully fund the services to the same extent that they do the services themselves, I think the county should simply say, hey, you guys take care of it. So that's the extent of my testimony. Thank you.
You're welcome. We know how you feel about this,
yes.
Senator Morissette.
Madam Chair?
Senator Courtney.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, as you are aware, I believe Senator Frank Shields is attending a conference on the East Coast, and he asked that my office share with you and members of the committee his statement in support of House Bill 2288, and he says at the conclusion of his written testimony that he is urging that a work session be held on this bill as soon as possible, and I'll distribute the testimony.
Thank you. Are there any further questions or any comments? Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, would it be possible to have a schedule of, if you took comparable state, comparable AAA position, salary, benefits, a schedule so that we can look at the relative, not only the difference as a percentage, but the relative value of
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, the way that the equity gap was established as far as how we created a method to look at it is looking at a comparable state office and taking a look at it position by position, service and supply cost, and so forth. So a methodology was created that that is available, and actually that methodology was scrutinized by DHS as well as DAS and LFO, and it stood up to all of that scrutiny to say that this is a reasonable way to look at what the equity gap is. And it is based on position by position and service and supply money and other factors as well.
Mr. Britton, do you have a a comparison or a written analogy analysis of the equity gap issue. What do we have from you and the agency?
Madam Chair and members, we have not issued a fiscal impact statement. Mm-hmm. We do have an estimate from the Department of Human Services. And for the 0305 biennium, there is no fiscal impact of this bill. For 0507, again, this is the department's estimate. We have not checked these numbers, but it's about $8.1 million general fund, $9.3 federal funds.
I think the question
for 0506.
I think the question that Senator Morse was asking. Are there some comparison data available for the members to weigh on this parity issue? If that's available, can you give us some information? Can you find that information and give it to the members of the committee? Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, can I ask a question, please?
You certainly may.
I want to make sure that I'm pretty clear on the issues here involved, and I'm asking some questions you probably in a way have already spoken to, but I want to make myself pretty clear on them. My understanding is that when the counties took these programs over, there was a clear understanding with them and the state that those positions would be funded the same level the state funded those positions of the counties that did not take the programs over. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so the issue for me becomes two issues. One, the overall overriding issue, are we properly overpaying or underpaying state employees for the job they do? That's one separate discussion, not part of this. What the discussion here for me then is a matter of credibility of state government. Too often we have had counties take over programs with a promise that we would continue to maintain the funding to those counties, and what we've done time after time is cut the funding to the counties in an effort to balance our budget while we didn't control our own budget ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that may be driving the heart of what Senator Morris is trying to get to also. I think there's a credibility problem here that we have not maintained. And then we have to look at ourselves and say, have we controlled our own budgets before we go after yours? Mm-hmm. So from my point of view, this is one of credibility, a promise not kept, and one that needs to be kept now.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, I would really agree as far as how the problem developed was one where the staff was used to be tracked in the personnel system of the state, so there was no question about equity. They were tracked over time. And then when the change occurred in the formula, the way the state passed the money along, there was a promise that it was going to be looked at regularly and kept roughly equivalent. And as years went by, a big gap developed. The interesting thing about it is that the state, when it changed that formula, didn't do it with legislative direction to do so, went ahead and made that change. And the irony is now we're back asking the legislature to help us to make sure that we get the methodology back on track. So there have been a number of different players that have been involved at the state level over the years. And to the credit of DHS over time, certainly in the last sessions, is that they have really recognized that the gap is there, and they understand how it was derived, and they have talked about having interest in seeing it changed and have put forth policy packages to do so. It's really then been the governor that has, the previous governor and this governor that hasn't chosen to put it in the budget. And so that's why we're back here at the legislature.
Representative Westland,
thank you, Madam Chair. I really want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. I think this bill addresses a lot of the issues that many of us have been concerned about over a number of years, and while I think every member of the committee is very supportive of AAAs and just nothing short of noble work that they do, I think there are some long simmering issues that need to be addressed, and I think this bill very effectively addresses them. One thing I would like to point out, and I know this may be a little off point, but when we get into actual funding, there is something that AAAs have done for us as an institution and as a people that I think goes little recognized and actually has a positive revenue impact for us, and that is their continuing efforts to sign, and this is a very difficult process, to sign our veterans up for care under the Veterans Administration that actually is a positive cash flow for the state. It gets into the, quote, third-party payer issue that many of us on this panel have worked so hard for. So I would not only continue, I don't know who is out there, but thank you for those ongoing efforts, as well as ask us to look at that when we actually get into the budgeting part of this budget. I know we are in a public hearing process, so I want to get that on the record and hope that we will be in a work session on this bill in the not-too-distant future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
John, question. Does your funding stream come direct from the state office, or does it channel through the county?
Well, it, Madam Chair, it channels through the county in the sense that the contract is officially with the Board of County Commissioners in Clackamas County, but the county takes no overhead at all for the administration of the contract.
You knew where I was headed, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. If there's no additional questions. Reverend Tomei, are you wanting to testify? I see you. Okay, thank you. I believe Kathy Cooper is here representing the agency.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Senator Morris.
A question to John. No fiscal impact in 0305, yet the act takes effect July 1 of 03. Why would we not have a fiscal impact in this biennium?
Madam Chair and Senator Morris, the Act would establish a method of funding that gap, that equity gap that the witnesses have testified to. It would be included, as the bill is currently written, in the current service level budget. Now, for the 05-07 biennium, the current service level budget is a benchmark. It does not make the governor fund that in his recommended budget, nor does it obligate the assembly to fund that either. But it sets that within the current service level budget, which is typically a benchmark that we use.
But it would have a fiscal impact for 0305, but not
0507. Right.
Yeah.
0507, but not 0305.
Chair Winters.
Representative Smith.
Thank you. I guess another 101 question. Can someone explain to me the difference between a type B area agency and, I assume, there's a type A area agency?
Well, that's a good question. John?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, in the enabling legislation, Senate Bill 955, which is enrolled as ORS 410, the legislature at that time gave local entities the opportunity to stay the way they were as area agencies on aging. That's type A, and they administer the Older Americans Act and Oregon Project Independence, but it did not take over responsibility for long-term care programs. And for the type B agencies, those are ones that have taken over the responsibility, and there are a couple of subparts to the type Bs. In Clackamas County, we're a type B2 transfer, which means that we do programs for aging, people with disabilities, and we have transferred the staff over to the local level. So there are a couple of minor variations to that theme, but basically that's the difference between A's and B's, the difference being involvement with the long-term care and financial eligibility programs.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Winters and members of the committee. For the record, I am Kathy Cooper. I am the Acting Assistant Deputy Director for Seniors and People with Disabilities, Department of Human Services, and I'm here on behalf of James Taves, our Acting Assistant Director, that was called away to another engagement. We're here today to testify on behalf of the governor and the on House Bill 2288. It requires the Department of Human Services to establish a budget and an allocation process for the Type B area agencies on aging using an equivalent cost as if the department itself were running the Medicaid program for seniors and people with disabilities. The bill further requires the department to assure such equitable funding by prescribing a methodology and rule and then including such a cost in the continuing service level budget of the department. No funds were included in the governor's budget to address this equity issue. Furthermore, given the current and foreseeable budget climate in Oregon, the governor has clearly stated that future budgets of the state agencies will not automatically be built with the continuing service level assumptions. For this reason, the department cannot support a regulatory formula on equity tied to a continuing service level budget assumption as required in House Bill 2288. However, the department clearly recognizes the funding problems facing local governments that operate the Medicaid programs for seniors and people with disabilities. The legislation, as we discussed, was passed in 1981. It strongly encouraged the local governments to pick up the Medicaid program that was previously operated and directed by the state. In the intervening years, these programs were transferred from state to local governments and jurisdictions, and the identical cost assumptions and allocations were initially transferred to the receiving local government entities. However, subsequent to the transfer, local costs were adjusted by a cost of living adjustment and not by a typical state agency adjustment of the cost for personnel, supplies, and services and technology and other costs, and hence ensuing the equity gap that we have discussed. As we talked about in ORS Chapter 410, which authorizes the transfer of the Medicaid authority from the state to local entities, it does not expect or require local government to expend local funds to help maintain this program. Today, 85% of the senior and people with disability programs in Oregon are operated by the area agencies on aging, with the residual 15% operated by state Department of Human Services local offices. The area agencies on aging themselves represent a complicated patchwork of quilt of varying local arrangements. As prescribed in ORS Chapter 410, Type A areas on aging provide Older Americans Act and Oregon Project Independence funded services. As just described by John Mullen, the Type B1 area agency on aging provides the above services as well as Medicaid services to seniors, but they do not provide it to people with disabilities. The Type B2 area agency on aging provides services to all populations. The department fills in the gaps in each of the areas not served by a Type B2 organization with state systems.
Question, is there a variation in the payments based on the different responsibilities of the various types of area agencies?
Madam Chair, we do a local allocation based on the caseload mix in those areas. And so there would be typically a different caseload mix in our aging offices from our offices that both provide aging and services for people with disabilities. But it's based on a caseload formula.
And not actually based on the program service?
Right. It's on a caseload mix, right. Mm-hmm. Right. This patchwork approach has worked well historically, allowing services to be locally designed, developed, and delivered. However, the service system has grown over the past 20 years and now faces major fiscal constraints. A complicated field structure is costly and more difficult to administer and less agile
in triaging services across to the most vulnerable populations. The department, along with the area agencies on aging, have formed a work group to study statewide AAA structure. The department hopes the outcome will yield a more unified field approach, perhaps even moving our whole structure to a Type B approach statewide, while respecting local choices and rural interests. In this effort to be successful, the department and the AAAs must resolve the equity issue. To this end, the Department of Human Services is commending and is recommending and committing to updating the equity formula and developing a plan to resolve the equity gap. Thank you.
Question.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Winters. If the department and the area agencies on aging are working together in a work group to study this structure, why are they here advocating for this bill today?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I believe, as Mr. Mullen said earlier, the department has recognized that there has been an equity gap between the dollars that have been allocated to state agencies and what we give to local government and to councils on government. And so I believe they're here saying that they believe the approach is best served for people with disabilities and seniors when it is locally developed, locally designed, and locally administered, as is authorized in our statute 410. And I believe to be able to get to that, we have to resolve this inequity in terms of the dollars we provide them to operate the Medicaid programs.
Would it follow? Madam Chair, if it'd be, if you would accommodate, I'd be interested in hearing the other perspective as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Smith, just a very simple way of saying it is that the department doesn't feel it has the authority to go forward to change the funding mechanism without having the approval of the legislature, and so that's what the bill does.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Is it, and I need to follow up on that question, is it that they don't have the authority or they think they don't have the money within the budget? That those are two different issues.
Madam Chair, it is true that in the governor's recommended budget, this is not, there is not dollars available for equity.
Mm-hmm. Any additional questions? I see, is it Representative Merkley back there? I think he's behind. My chronologically advantaged friend, I didn't see you when you came in.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm representing Jeff Merkley from East Portland. I'll be very brief, like several other representatives who have passed in and out of the room in the last few minutes. We come from counties that are affected by the math and the cash in this issue you're considering, and I thank the chair on the committee for taking the time to look at this. This has been a long festering issue that numerous work groups have met to address and understand exactly what's going on and pinpoint the problem and say let's honor the contract originally provided when these five counties or areas were carved out and distributed locally. And so I come here simply to advocate for honoring that original contract, both by fixing the formula as provided for in this bill and by providing the resources necessary to bring things even. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the good representative? Phyllis Rand. Thank you. Did you notice that not a single legislator that came up here put anything in Rosie?
Outrage, Madam
That is
Chair.
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
We have long memories on this committee.
You know?
Well, I have seven area agencies on aging is listed in my testimony, and I was sure I would not get all the way through without calling it.
Phyllis, you need to state your name for the record. I know who you are.
I'm Phyllis Rand with the Governor's Commission on Senior Services, and I'm the legislative coordinator for the commission. And I'm here today to be in support for House Bill 2288. And you've heard a lot about what the how the system is, and our concern is that currently the methodology is that unfairly pays the transfer area agencies on aging less than it would cost to run a state program of the same kind. So this places a heavy burden on local government and is essentially an unfunded mandate. That really makes us angry. We don't like unfunded mandates. They should receive the same formula that the Department of Human Resources uses to fund its local offices. And even the law that created the transfer area agencies on aging system clearly states that local governments should not be forced to carry the burden of serving those populations and should not be forced to additional resources. So what we'd like you to do is to pass the bill as quickly as possible out of your committee. Thank you. If you have any questions, and Senator Westland, I have my red heart that keeps you going.
You know, this is one committee that, you know, we give out hearts in this committee, and we give out dollars in this committee to feed the hungry. You know, I'm going to call this the love committee. You know, Phyllis has a heart that I think Dolores gave to her heart. She gave her heart to Ben Westland, and Phyllis did not want to be outdone, so she's going to give a heart to Ben Westland, Representative Westland. We're going to make sure that Representative Westland is okay and remains in this building. I did see Representative Hansen in the back, and just so that other legislators know, in this committee we do have Rosie and Rosette. And Rosie and Rosette is there because this, you know, we're all famous for using acronyms or phrases, and so they're collecting monies so that at the end of the session we will donate it to the Oregon Food Bank. So we just wanted to make sure that you knew that, and I thank you very much, Representative Hansen.
And get the bills out.
Yeah, we're going to need more than that.
Out. Get the checkbook.
Chair left, but Gary Hansen, State Representative, House District 44. I'll be real brief. This is basically an equity bill. It's incredibly important. Good bill. Should pass. I'll be back to handle that stuff later after we see the results.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. The chair would say that Rosie and Rosette do not like change.
We're talking to you, Hansen.
Well, Madam Chair, I know that change is painful and hard for some people, but change is basically good for all of us.
Very good, very good.
Senator Corcoran?
Madam Chair?
Thank you. Representative Wesley?
Could we just retire momentarily so we could do something important like check the air in our spare tires?
Certainly. Would you like a momentary recess?
Well, yeah, I don't think it'll inconvenience anyone that we're not worried about inconveniencing.
You know, checking air shouldn't be a problem for you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Senator Tony Corcoran, Senate District 4. I'm acronym impaired, so I'm here on HB 2288 in support of O4AD's problem and LCOG's problem. Lane Council of Governments oversees this program as an area agency on aging in Lane County. And all kidding aside, the director of that program, and that's a group that I have worked very closely with over the years, and they are, in fact, dying on the vine, and I believe that this bill will, in fact, give them the equity they deserve. And it has really had a dire impact on their ability to provide services. The caseloads are incredible in that place now. They already went through a series of layoffs last November and December, so their caseloads are just enormous, and it's really getting to be a question of their capacity to provide services for the aged and the disabled. So, urge your support. No change. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator.
It's really a pleasure. Really a pleasure to see you, Representative Westland, despite what everybody else says.
I think Representative March.
Please come forward, Representative March.
All right.
Thank you.
Always pay in advance, just in case. Well, for the record, my name is Representative Steve March. I represent House District 46 in the center of Portland. I'm here today in support of 2288 as well as 2287, which would provide additional funding to bring equity into the system. And just to let you know, my intern just got back from Orlando, and he brought me a Mickey pin to indicate my vote preference, and Mickey's thumb is up, so I'd appreciate an aye vote. Thank you.
Is that Mickey as in mouse?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Helen? Is it Lear?
It's Leary.
Leary. Helen Leary. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Helen Leary, and I'm a citizen member of the Clackamas County Area Agency on Aging Advisory Council. That's John's council, so you're probably not going to be shocked to know I'm here in support of House Bill 2288, which would correct the methodology. This is fund neutral, but it would indeed correct the methodology. And to a citizen, this seems like a very straightforward issue. What's fair is fair. The original agreement was we should all be paid on the same basis. These are critical case management services that assess individuals in need and make sure they get the care they need. That's as important in Clackamas County as it is in Lane County, as it is in Bend. And so I am here to just urge you to please restore the trust in the system and provide equity and fairness for all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Leary.
Chair Gordon.
Representative Smith.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I'd be glad to take questions.
No, well, you're in the seat. Why? I need a follow-up to a previous question. In the letter that was provided to us from the Department of Human Services, it talks about that. Unfortunately, they're not able to support the bill at this time. And it talks about the need for, or that a work group has been formed, but then it's also been shared with us that they need this bill in order to, they need this legislation in order to move forward. I'm confused. Why is the work group process not working? I'm missing something.
I myself am not a member of the work group, but it seems to me you don't know what the outcome of a work group is going to be. The outcome of this legislation is extremely clear. It reestablishes the methodology so that the area agencies on aging are paid on an equal basis.
So just to follow up, Chair.
Certainly.
The message is we've waited long enough. It's time to get the job done. Let's just get moving.
Yes.
Thank you.
From my perspective as citizen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2288? Any other questions or comments from the committee? Senator Morse?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe it's a combination of both, but I'm a little confused. Is the deficiency in staffing levels, or is the deficiency in compensation and benefits?
Please come forward, Mr. Mullen.
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, what happens is the way the formula works is that we earn positions based on caseload, but as time goes along, the amount that's paid by position deteriorates because it doesn't expand at the same level that the state expands as far as the payment for staff, payment for service and supplies, and other kinds of costs for running an operation. While the state equivalent state office continues to increase over time, we increase at a far slower pace, and that's why the gap develops over time. So after the 99th session, with the $2 million that the legislature allocated for a partial fix, the area agencies on aging were at about 92.3%, if I remember right, of a comparable state office after the fix. And what the department calculates in the 2003-2005 biennium will fall to about 85% of a comparable agency because, again, the formula causes deterioration position by position.
Thank you.
I would just ask if the department wish to add anything to the record.
Okay. We're done. Well, thank you, Chair. I'd go out for a quick moment, and the efficiencies on this committee is just wonderful. Representative Smith, see, we still have no questions.
Thank you, Chair Winters. I just have a comment. Although House Bill 2288 probably won't be benefiting my neck of the woods, I just fully support this effort. I know the folks who run my area agencies, and they're doing some pretty darn good work on some pretty limited resources. And, when I look around at the folks who are taking care of our most vulnerable folks, it's our area agencies. And this is a bill that is long overdue. It's the right thing to do. I'm pleased to support it. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. This has been a long-standing issue that really seriously needs to be resolved. It was the first issue that Drew Jacqueline presented to me when I came back into this jockling into this building, and it truly does need to be worked on and resolved. It's created a lot of angst, and over time, and so I think that most of us are really sympathetic to where you are and would hope that the work with the agency, that they're sincere about wanting to work and to resolve some of these conflicts and problems. So one of the things that it's my hope that Dr. Bates, Representative Bates mentioned credibility, I think that it behooves all of us who are working on behalf of the state, whether we're in a state agency, whether we're working with contracted environments, that we really work very hard to keep our promises. And this isn't the first one that's come up about the relationship with their work with government. And I know out there in the public domain, that's a big piece, and are we going to really have government that is open, honest, and is be able to keep its commitments? So with that, it's just my comments at the end, and we are adjourned until tomorrow's Thursday, Wednesday. So we do have, we will be back on Wednesday, and I think we still have some bills to work through on Wednesday. We are adjourned. Thank you.